Welcome back to a freshly squeezed episode of the Flowscape podcast. I am Sawyer Stinchfield. With me today is Spencer Brown. And let's give a shout out to the Colorado State Rams as we are moving on to play Texas tomorrow. Yeah, they have not been in the tournament since 2011 when we were going to school there, and they ended up losing.
When this jersey was from, the football jersey.
The hockey jersey I'm wearing is from a few years later, but they ended up losing to Louisville, which, hear me out. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and I get pigeon tossed every time I bring this up, but hear me out. I think we're natty champs that year, because in 2011, we lost to Louisville in the round of 64. They went on to win the national championship and then went on to get that national championship taken away by the NCAA for violations. We're champions.
I don't think that's how that works.
Is that not how that works?
I think you're missing some steps.
We're honorary 2011 NCAA champions.
We'll claim it.
There's
nobody, so nobody won it, so we can just take it. Dibs.
But they have not been back since it's been that long. And everybody listening to this podcast who is not a Colorado State fan is like, who gives a fuck? But we do. We do. So fuck you, because we do. And we love our Rammies. So I think we got a shot. At beating Texas. Not anything past that. If we beat Texas, we would go on to play most likely Tennessee, and that's just Tennessee's their dogs. But we worked Virginia. I thought it was going to be a game, and it was not a game. Virginia just looked like, until the end of the game when they realized they were losing and going home, they didn't look like they wanted to be there anymore.
14 straight shots or something.
Which is crazy, because if you just watched the first 3 minutes of that game and turned it off, you would have thought Virginia was going to smoke us based on how we were like passing the ball. Anyways, we're moving on. And this is a hockey podcast, but well, we got to give a shout out to our Rammies. Joel Scott's a beast. That guy's a beast coming from Division II, South Dakota Division II. So, you know, he's a dog. I like watching him play. And Clifford the Big Red Dog had a big game last night. That's the nickname I came up with yesterday. So we're playing Texas tomorrow. So anybody listening, go give the Rammies some love. Colorado State, shout out to them. Spencer's got his football jersey on.
We beat them in basketball tomorrow, and then we beat them in football in August.
Exactly. We double dip. I like that idea. I need to start off with something. I hate traffic. Just a little grind my gears. I hate traffic. And on top of hating traffic, I hate when you follow your GPS and you feel like the way you were going to go until you followed the GPS would have been, you know what I mean? Like when the GPS tells you the shorter route is traffic and you're like, I don't know. Is it? It's just a little slight grind my gears. It's just traffic is just one of those things. As soon as I get to it, my mood just automatically, for whatever reason, just flips.
Oh, I hate it. I want to live in a world with no neighbors and no cars. I'm moving to the middle of Montana with AJ here pretty soon, but I just can't afford to live in Whitefish. But that's a different story for a different time.
Yeah. But yeah, just a slight grind my gears. Traffic sucks. So anybody that is sitting in traffic while listening to this, I'm sorry. I feel your pain, especially if you did what I did and listen to the GPS and thought you would have had a shorter route if you would have listened to your own mind. But anyways, we got to talk about something really quick. A little continuation from our men's league conversation last week when we talked about just late men's league games should be illegal. I do have a 10 o'clock roller game tonight, which is not that big of a deal. But the reason I bring the men's league thing up is I won't play men's league. I thought about it. I won't do it. And here's why. I had somebody text me, a very, very nice person, good player that I play with in Israel, text me he lives in Nashville, 4 videos of his men's league game from last night. It was one guy on the other team, and this is all pulled from like Live Barn. It was one guy on the other team who, like, you could tell was like making it a point to try to make an example of my buddy for being probably one of the better players on the ice. My buddy was also wearing his like Israel stuff, and not like jersey, but like his helmet and gloves or like whatever. I would have fucking murdered this guy. I would have gotten taken out of that hockey rink in handcuffs. He is lucky he pulled some of this stuff to the nicest guy in the world, because after the last video, I would have Marley McSorley'd him. I would have just taken my stick, choked down on it like a wedge, and just hauled off on his head. I'm not kidding. Every time my buddy would skate or had the puck, this guy would either try to full on body check him or would choke down on his stick and try to break his stick in half. My buddy kind of gave it back to him one time, but the other times it was just like, he's just too nice of a guy. Like, it's just not his, like, it's just not what he does. I would have killed this guy. If I was playing in the game with my buddy and saw this happening, I would have killed him. Like, I am, it is a very, very good thing that I was not at that hockey rink. And that is why I will not play men's league, because it's just, it's bullshit like that. And it's not every league, but it would happen to me just because it's me. I know it. There's just the universe just works in weird fucking ways. That would happen to me. And if you're somebody that does that, fuck off.
Guys in my leagues that do that, and what I think you need is you just need a skate. Like, you need to find one of those guys who like rents an ice time to like 20, 25 guys. You know all the guys. You know it's just going to be like a good pace, good dudes. There's a
beer. There is. Afterwards. The problem is it's on Wednesdays at 11 a.m.
It's a lot of
like pro guys who and college guys who are home from the summer, and I know 90% of them, and it's invite only. So if I get invited, obviously like you have to know, it's a goalie who sets it up, but it's a lot of like Allen American guys and some EC and some other EC guys, some SP guys, and just some ex college players like the Ludwigs go out there. But the problem is, again, it's at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday. It's like it's so far from, it's like 55 minutes from where I work.
Yeah, so I know that's a little.
Yeah. Like, but you are right.
Like,
that's,
I do like a nice 7 a.m. on a Saturday. But like something like that would be cool.
That's why I just stick to playing senior A, because if somebody's going to do that to me, at least I can punch them in the face and just go sit down for 5 minutes until I can't play. And I just get to the point where I only want to play roller. I'm just going to stick to, unfortunately, having to play full contact just because I can't not, but that guy is a fuckhead. So if you're listening, random guy in Nashville, I don't know why you would be, you're a douche. You can stop listening. Shout out to my buddy for being a good guy and not smoking that guy. Speaking of smoking guys, not hockey related again, but that soccer thing is one of the wildest things I have ever seen.
Nuts. Like, so, I was kind of reading it, and then finally I saw a video of it, and that was bonkers.
It was in Turkey, correct?
Yeah.
Now, I've been in that part of the – I've been in Turkey. I've been to Turkey. I've been in that part of the country, of the world. They're not very PC, I guess you could say. They say some things that it's that kind of makes you raise eyebrows at certain if you obviously know what I'm talking about. And I feel like that's a problem across just European in that part of the world and in soccer in general, which is very, very weird. But anyways, yeah,
so the backstory. So I don't even know what teams were, but it was some team won a close game on opposing team soil, and as they were celebrating the win, the opposing fans decided to run out and
they start a stormed. Melee. They stormed the field like not, and it wasn't like a group of 100. It was like a group of like random groups of like 3 or 4 fans would just go onto the pitch and try to attack these soccer players. And this is my point. If you think you can beat up a professional athlete as a fan who paid money to go in and watch, you're a dumbass, because there was one guy on that soccer team that beat the living shit out of multiple fans.
Oh yeah.
He was multiple fans.
And just chucking nucks.
And then the one guy on the soccer team threw the spinning back kick right to the fan's face. Like, it was like a, It was very like Game he away, obviously
needs to call him up.
He obviously had some MMA training, because that was like it, and he had cleats on. So that kick went. So that should be a lesson to everybody, even though most people aren't going to learn. here's what I want to see. And part of my take has talked about this multiple times. If you're a player and you get heckled by a fan, like way past the point of just like little bits of fun, that fan should have to fight you. That like it should be written in your ticket contract when you purchase a ticket to a sporting event that if you go onto the field and act like an idiot or you talk so much shit that it's to the point of removal from the arena, you have to fight that person. And you don't have a choice.
No, you know what? You have to go play the sport for 30 seconds. You have to go on the field and play.
That's what I'm saying.
Fight. Like if you're gonna chirp a guy in baseball, you have to go up to bat and take a few pitches. If you want
full
to chirp
speed.
A guy in hockey,
full
guess
speed.
What? You're out next shift.
Yeah, like at intermission, some usher comes down and says, "Sir, you're coming with me." And it's like, "Where are we going?" "We're going down to gear you up." Like you're good. If you want to do this, like we're gonna do this. Like it's just if you're gonna do that, you should get punched. Like you should be able to just get rocked by. It's like the people who at the basketball games who stick their phones out and guys' faces as they're getting ejected, and then get their phone smacked away and then want to sue. It's like, buddy, you deserve to get your phone smashed for doing shit like that. But yeah, just that soccer thing. If you have not seen it, go watch it. It's incredible that is even happening. Like that fans are even capable or able to reach a team like that.
Yeah.
That makes no
sense to that point.
This is 2024. Like, what kind of what is going on? Like, I'm sure in most parts of the world, it's just like security guards here. At a certain point, they think about their paycheck at the end of the week and what they're about to have to deal with. And they probably just go, okay, this isn't worth it, which makes sense. But if you have fans that are going onto the pitch to try to fight players, you need like armed security. You need the actual like Turkish police to be at these games. That's crazy.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Well, that goes back to my original comment of that part of the world's not very PC. Real quick, PSA, Stuart Skinner, goalie for the Edmonton Oilers. You can fuck off. Okay? Fuck off. Because you are ruining Ovi's chances, even though he's going to break it. You are just putting a damper on it happening quicker than it should. So you suck, okay? And I
you
mean that in the night.
You owe him
two.
One.
No, he owes him two. He fucking owes him two, Spencer. He fucking robbed him twice. Two.
You owe
it
him
was,
two.
In two different games, it was two highlight reel saves, both on fucking Ovi. Stuart Skinner, stop it. Okay, and I mean that with all due respect. Fuck off, okay? Stop robbing. You can do it to anybody, just not him. Speaking of Ovi, though, did you see that slap, the one-timer last night? Was it the one?
No.
What,
yeah.
The last night or the night before? It was just classic Ovi. Just power play, boom, boom, up to the top, slide it right over. Everybody knows where it's going. The goalie knows where it's going. And he just ripped it. He just ripped it short side, right middle. It was class. It was vintage. It's wild. And his laces have gotten more yellow.
Oh, yeah. I saw a crazy stat for him the other day. So he's had 19 consecutive seasons with 20 goals.
He is.
At least 20 goals in 19 consecutive seasons. That's nuts. Talk about consistency and just a dude that just scores goals.
He's an ox. He's the best.
Insane.
He's the best. Just pure, just goals. Like it's all he does is score goals. He's never for his entire career. He's not a player. Like I'll just use this as an example because it's something that I was involved. Like it's something that was ingrained in me as a kid, being in the area I'm from. It's not like he was like Mike Madonna, who was known for a very long time of not playing any defense, and then once Ken Hitchcock got a hold of the team and changed the style of the team. He basically told Madonna, you're either going to play both ends of the ice and learn how to be a prick and play tough, or you're not going to play. And Madonna completely turned it around and became like two-handed guys and was still the same offensive player, but he learned how to play in the D zone. Ovechkin, for his entire career, has never
he
plays D.
One season, won the Stanley Cup, and then went right back to just I didn't score goals.
I even think in the playoffs there was like people calling him out for like, okay, there's Ovi just coasting through the neutral zone again. Like he is not, and that is why though he is the best pure goal scorer I've ever seen with my own two eyes, because that's all I've ever seen him do is just score goals.
Run dudes over.
And absolutely maul dudes.
Yeah.
And one punch Andrei Svechnikov. Was it Svechnikov? Was that who it was?
It was some Russian.
I think it was Svechnikov, who I don't think has tried to fight anybody since.
little Russian
on Russian crime. But yeah, going back to my original PSA, Stuart Skinner's, just stop. Okay. When he gets the puck, you can make a save. But if you have to work hard for it, let it go in is what I'm saying. Yeah, just let it go. That's what I'm saying.
You owe him too.
Wayne Simmonds has retired. Shout out to Wayne Simmonds. Well over 1,000 games, which is why I did the math. It's a couple hundred. It's close to a couple hundred games over 1,000.
For several different teams. Like five teams. And not for bad reasons either. Not like they just wanted to get rid of him. All these teams wanted him there.
They needed all the teams that Wayne Simmonds played for, even for the teams that he played for 17 games, which was a couple, needed him at that point in time for what he brought, what he brings and brought to the game of hockey, which is he was never collateral damage. He was never an add-in piece. He was always most likely, from what I can remember, a single trade piece that was brought in to do and to be a leader, even if the ice time didn't equate to like what he did when he early in his career, which is something to be said.
So hard. Like
he was so, oh man,
the right way. He was a good guy. And just, yeah, he was,
we talk about dogs. Yeah. We talk about dogs. He was a dog, man. He was tough and he could beat the wheels off of a lot of guys. He early in his career with LA, he was dropping the gloves with a lot of heavyweights.
And then putting pucks in the net too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's a good player. Just a rugged looking dude, man. And that, if you go back and watch that Amazon Prime, his beard, and he's just missing all those teeth. It's just Wayne is just, yeah, he kind of reminds me of like a Dustin Byfuglien, just a guy who just doesn't care about appearance. He's just there to work hard and play hockey. Kind of like Jason Kelce. Did you know the NFL, did you know the NFL doesn't have a dress code, like a going to the game dress code policy?
That doesn't surprise me.
Like, you don't have to wear a suit. You can just wear whatever you want. And there's several photographs of Jason Kelce wearing like flip flops, sweat shorts, and like cut off tanks. And somebody asked him one time, like, what's the deal with that? And he's like, I'm here to play football. I'm going to play football and like break bones and sweat my ass off. He's like, I'm not here for a fashion show. What the fuck do I need a suit for? And that I totally agree with that. I hated dressing up in suits for games every time. I hated it. Just let me wear, because when we get to the game,
I liked it if I didn't have to bring, because some games, like even in college, we had to bring our bags. But like when in juniors, my stuff was already there and you walk in, you're walking through the rink. It was kind of nice.
But who sees you?
You got to carry your bag. It's like meh.
But my point of the you saying you walk in, who sees you when you walk in? Because if you're playing a decent level.
I look nice when I walk out.
But who wants to stay out all night in that? You know what I'm saying? Like, let me just wear, and I'm not saying let me wear, like, I'm saying let me wear whatever the fuck I want to wear. Like, let me just feel comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, that's another another grind my gears. Yeah, but the look good, feel good, play good is all subjective to whatever, that's what I'm saying. So 25 guys that want to.
Whatever. Everybody's in their feelings. Everybody do what they want.
Yeah, Kermit the Frog stench. Kermit the Frog stench. But yeah, so shout out to Wayne Simmonds. The NHL's listening to our podcast because this NHL Prime thing is going to be really cool. Who do you think they're going to follow?
I mean, I think you got to at least do Austin Matthews, Connor Bedard, probably Pasternak. A lot of people say McDavid, but I just don't think he's going to be interesting enough. I mean, yeah, he's probably the greatest player in the world, but what do we need to see? Him in the gym, him at the rink, him at home, him at the gym, him at the rink, him at home. I think that's all he does. So I think it would be cool to see him, but I think they still need to follow guys who have some personality and some character. So probably the Hughes brothers, I think that's probably an opportunity for them, seeing how there's three of them in the NHL. Yeah, those are the ones that come to mind off the top of my head. Mitch Marner, so, Nylander.
The NHL has said that they are going to, or I guess they've already been filming, but it got leaked or came out in a PA meeting that they're going to be following around 12 players and doing their own series, like a Full Swing on Netflix, like a Drive to Survive, like these all these other ones that we've seen. Now the question becomes, who are the right players to do this to? And so Spencer named quite a few that I think everybody wants to see. Like Pasta, you have to follow Pasta.
He's so interesting. He's so weird and so playful.
He is so hilarious. Like if nobody has seen, if you listen to Spit and Chicklets or you don't, if nobody has seen the Sandbagger on YouTube with Pasta and Fiala, it is absolutely one of the best things I have ever witnessed with my own two eyes. Pasternak playing golf. A, he's an athlete, so he wasn't very good, but he could keep up. B, he is hilarious. The stuff he was saying, like they've got a marketing girl. It's obvious. It's a thing on TikTok and Instagram and all. They've got a marketing girl, and she's the one that gives them birdie juice, little pink Whitney nips every time they get a birdie. And he learned her name, which was Julia. And every time there's somebody would get a birdie, he'd go, "Julia, Julia, Julia, we need birdie juice." And then I loved him for that. And then the one moment that really got me, when I knew I loved him and he's a personality, is when him and Fiala are clearly kind of inebriated and they're kind of taking a while to like hit their shot and like, you know what, they're kind of fucking around. And Whitney makes a comment about how, like, they're like, "Are you gonna, like, what's your guys' problem? Are you gonna play golf or what?" And Pasta goes, "Because we are having fun." Like, he's just like, you just gotta follow a guy like that around.
Did you see what he did last night?
Did they throw the bear pelt?
He scores a hat trick last night and someone throws a bear coat on him and he puts it on.
His 17th hat trick.
Yeah, no, the dude's insane. So that's what I mean. He's gotta be a part of that because he's one of the best scorers in the NHL. He has this huge personality that I think he wants to display in the first place. I think that's an easy one for him.
Here would be my top five. My top five would be like, and not in any particular order, just five I would want to see. I would want to see Pasta. I would want to see Matthews, the Toronto living, the Bieber connection. I would want to see actually how he lives. Even in the Amazon Prime thing, that was all at the rink. That was all like training. That was no personal life, like nothing. I want to see Brent Burns. I want to see the ranch.
That's a good one.
I want to see the ranch. I want to see like his weird training. Like I want to see the backpack. I want to see I just want to see everything about Brent Burns. Just him. I don't want to say it, but I think you got to follow Matthew Tkachuk. He's just a rat. That's why. I mean, I don't dislike him because of them being in Florida or him being in Florida. There's going to be a lot of extracurricular golf and stuff activities going on, I think. And their family is just nutcases in a good way, as far as just like they get hammered. Yeah, they get big Walt. I think that's somebody you got to follow. I want to say Zegras because I feel like you have to get that Anaheim, like he's dating a TikTok star. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that's a good mix of like, you're going to get some seriousness with Brent Burns and Austin Matthews. And then you're going to get the fun with Pasta, with Zegras and with the Tkachuks.
Yeah, but you're also trying to think of like big markets they want to follow. So I'm trying to like somebody in Vegas. So there's probably like a Jack Eichel.
Because that's only five. They said 12.
Like yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they said 12. Now, obviously, one is going to be Connor McDavid if he agrees to it.
Yeah. Everybody wants to see what he's doing. I just think it's not going to be interesting. Like it's going to be interesting, but it's not going
to
be interesting.
It'll be interesting to a point, but I feel like if we want to sit here like we did last pod and bitch about the NHL not knowing how to market its own players, you have to have Connor McDavid.
Exactly.
Like that would just be, you know what I mean? Like that would just be the irony in that of us arguing that point and then saying, well, you can't have Connor McDavid. He's going to be too boring. That makes no sense. But I feel like there's going to be a couple weird ones. Like you got to have a goalie.
Revo?
No, just
I could see. If they're doing Matthews, they're not going to do two people in Toronto.
I could see them fall. I could see them doing Maroon more than Revo. Now Rempe would be fun because he's young and he lives in New York City. And that was
lightning in a bottle, so they can't plan for that.
But if they have that on film,
well, yeah, depends.
If he was one of the tests, like Panarin,
that would be a good one.
We don't ever hear from him. Yeah. Now, here's the thing: we haven't heard from him a lot because of that whole Russia thing. If you remember, so I don't know if he'd be willing to put himself in the spotlight. He's been kind of laying low, and if anybody doesn't know. Or doesn't remember, you're going Panarin, Russian thing, like what's the issue? He was openly opposed, like Zadorov was, to what's going on in Russia and the regime there right now. It, much like the craziness in like the Scientology world, they fabricated that was proven to be fabricated by multiple people who played with him at that time. They fabricated a pretty heinous story about him, about some stuff that he obviously didn't do in Russia when he was playing there, to try to sabotage his image in America and with the NHL, which didn't work because it's obviously very easy to look into corruption. I don't know if he'd be willing. Now, Zadorov would be kind of a good one because he's actually got a personality and he doesn't give a fuck. He's openly said, I don't give a fuck. I'll chirp anybody, even Vladimir himself, which he's done. So he's also been blacklisted, but he's one of those guys where like he hasn't laid low. He's kind of still, so that would be, but is the NHL going to put a Russian on there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, yeah, I see the Hughes brothers, the Tkachuk brothers.
Matthews, you got to do a Hughes. Yeah. Obviously you have to have the
McDavid,
Hughes.
I feel like makes sense.
Now, do you feel, I feel like if you like
Ovechkin,
they got to follow Ovi on the goal chase. That would be, you've got to get that on film for that.
I'm sure Crosby's in it. That would be his give back to the NHL.
Well, if Crosby's in it, I'll be frustrated disappointed if they didn't get this last season, him dealing with Dubas in the first season and him fully expecting to have a playoff caliber team and them just selling the ship and just completely eating the dust. I would love to see those meetings, him and Dubas in some meetings on, I would, because it's very well known that he was not happy that they traded Guentzel.
When they asked him in the interview, they said, well, you're going to have to ask the guys upstairs.
Yeah. Like he's a ride or die. And I think he would have done anything to keep that core guy. And I think deep down, he believed that core group of guys would have stuck together through the end of this year, that they would have been able to figure something else out next year in order to be back in the playoffs. And so I would love to see kind of his reactions, but here's the thing. I don't think Crosby is the kind of guy that would want cameras that much. He doesn't do interviews hardly. Like he's very, just put your head down, go to work.
Yeah. But I think he also knows he's on the tail end of his career and that he's very adamant about growing the game and doing that. So I think he's kind of one of those people you have to kind of bring into it.
Yeah.
Because he's the face of the NHL. It's like kind of how Rory had to do Full Swing. You wouldn't think he'd want the cameras either, but he's the face of the PGA.
True. I take back my top five. You mentioned it. I'd rather have Bedard than Zegras, but I think Zegras would be in there because there's 12. You got to follow Bedard. Have to. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Hype around him like that, like coming into the season, I think that one's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of Bedard, it's got to be mandatory he wears the bubble for the rest of his career. Like I don't care if he's 38, he's got to have a bubble, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, or at least, yeah, I don't know, maybe when he's 25 we can talk about it, but he's wearing it for the next,
he's got to be bubble boy, and I would embrace that. I would market that. Nobody's gonna chirp him. Who's gonna chirp him? What are you gonna chirp? He's nasty.
Literally, you're gonna chirp so gross. It's like the his toe drag around somebody and then just sniped it short side the other night. I was like, you're not playing hockey.
Yeah. You're going to chirp him. And then Foligno's going to come in there and beat the wheels off you. So it's like, it's a lose-lose for anybody who, and then he's going to go score. That's what I mean by lose-lose. Foligno's going to come in, beat the wheels off you. You're going to be sitting in the box for 5 minutes watching him toe drag and go top shelf. So it's a lose-lose situation. So it's just like nobody's going to trip him.
I bet he is in it because that's why we're seeing all those mic'd up moments between him and Foligno already. That's probably why we have it.
Yeah, maybe. Which have been good. We mentioned that last pod. Those have been good. I mentioned where's the mic'd up kind of emphatically last pod, meaning like there hasn't been enough because the clips are only like 20 seconds. Like give me a 3 minute long mic'd up video. That's part of the problem with Instagram. You can only do a minute and a half. But give me a minute
and
a half.
Right before we jumped on, I saw about a minute and a half video of Marshawn chasing someone from Toronto around. And it was mic'd up. And it was just the bleep guy just working overload. Beep, 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 beep.
Speaking of Toronto, those St. Pat's uniforms.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're one of my favorite jerseys. Like
it is.
Top five jerseys in the NHL all time.
I'm a sucker for green. I always will be a sucker for green in any shade because, you know, it's just a great color scheme to work with. Those St. Pat's jerseys, I almost want one. I'm not even really a Toronto fan. I like some players on there. I want a St. Pat's jersey just to have one. Like it, there was a
I could rock
badass.
A Matthews St. Pat's jersey.
And the green gloves with the green helmet and the shamrock this year was so cool
a nice bright green. They're beautiful
with the gold Notre Dame kind of trim kind of around it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Those are fantastic. Those are fantastic. What do you think about this? So
not fantastic.
The coaches' challenges?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the NHL has said that they are looking into expanding coaches' challenges into two ways. Coaches will now be able to challenge pucks that go over the glass for delay of game penalties. And then they will be able to challenge like high sticks, self-inflicted high sticks. Meaning like if a guy hits himself with his own stick or his teammate, or if a guy on the other team goes to lift his stick and his own stick hits him, like that's self-inflicted technically. Like that wouldn't be a high stick. It's got to be the stick of the perpetrator to actually hit it, which they're going to make. The problem already is there's too many, like the games, it's starting to become in not baseball territory, but hockey games take a lot longer now with the offside goal reviews. Do away with that, first of all. I mean, I know it's going to suck because it's going to happen to everybody's team in a big game eventually. Like there will be a play that's offsides and you're going to lose on it, but there will also be many moments where you get away with a lot. And it's really not, it's never been what hockey analytics historian has gone through the archives and said this many Stanley Cup game seven or game or series deciding playoff games were offside. It doesn't happen that often, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But they're keeping that, and then they're adding coaches' challenges. Where are we headed as far as length of hockey games now? Because I feel like they're already long.
I'll get to it because I have a question for you at the end of this segment, and I'll tell you. I have a fix for your issue. But so the analytics behind this in the past two seasons, any of these instances happened 12 times. That's it. Are we really that worried about 12 instances to make these rule changes?
You got the stats. So
the weird part and the other thing I read is, so it's only on penalties that are called. So you can't challenge and say, I think the puck went out or I think there was a high stick. It's only if the penalty's called. But if you're wrong on the coach's challenge, it's an additional penalty. So it's then a 5-on-3.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the other thing I read. So I think coaches aren't going to do it unless they're 100% and it's very, very clear. Because if it stands, it's going to be a 5-on-3 and you're really putting your team down. So I don't even think we're going to see that many challenges from it, especially if it's only happened 12 times in the past two seasons and two times this season.
Then what is the point of even adding? What's the point of even adding the challenges in the first place? If you're going to add stipulations like that to deter coaches from making the challenge, what is the point of adding the challenges? This just makes no sense. This is the other rule that I think I read they already added. This makes no sense to me whatsoever. It's never been an issue. You are no longer on a change allowed to hang a leg over or sit on the boards. For hockey fans, not hockey players, you, as a hockey player, when you're on the bench, right, there's an unwritten rule of how far the player, obviously the changes happen on the fly. So when you're changing for a guy that is actively skating to the bench while the play is going on, there's an unwritten rule of about 6 to 8 feet, meaning until that player is about 6 to 8 feet away from your bench, you can't jump onto the ice to change for them. Most refs won't call that far away. Now, 10 to 15, they're, and your team has possession in the zone or something like that, you're most likely going to get too many men. But usually 6 to 8 feet, you're safe. So it's almost like there's two guys on the ice at one time, but within a second, the one guy is off. Typically, though, the guy on the bench who's changing for the guy skating is already either sitting on the boards with a leg or maybe even two legs hanging over the boards, getting ready to jump to make the time and the effort of getting over the boards less, right? Less efficiency or less effort equals more efficiency technically in that scenario. You're no longer allowed to hang that leg or be even sitting. You're no longer allowed to sit on the boards, I read. So now you have to be standing, right? Which you would think, what does that matter? Like how much time? It's going to add a good second to whoever is changing for that player to be able to get on the ice. You're going to see a noticeable time difference on the quickness of the changes. Is it a safety thing? Like, do they not want skates?
I don't get it. Like, I don't see how this is a thing. Like, and I think all these rules have been approved by owners, but it still has to go to the PA.
The PA's got to shut that one. But I think
they'll throw that one out. That one makes no sense.
I think I read that one's already in. Like that one got approved, which if the PA approved, and I'm not saying they did, I don't want to speak out of term here. If the PA did approve that one,
it makes no sense.
That would have to be a safety thing. That would be the only reason they would approve it.
Like, I can't think of any guys getting injured jumping over the boards or getting on the ice. Like, maybe some too many men on the ice penalties, but like, what are we talking about here?
It makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Yeah, I'm still gonna, like,
so I don't know. I don't get it. So the other thing they said is that there's no conversation for any sort of overtime change. Like no changes to the overtime rule.
So we're adding challenges and we're doing this stupid fucking board rule. But we won't look into expanding the 3-on-3 and taking away the shootout.
No, they said because 70% of games still end in overtime, so it's not worth the issue. But 12 times something happens in the past two seasons, and we want to change rules for it.
This is what I'm saying. That
so we're saying almost three out of four game or one out of four games goes to a shootout. That goes to overtime.
The irony in this.
30% go to a shootout, but 12 times in two. So it's just, what are we talking about here? Like, who's making
the irony in all this? The irony in this is insane.
My question for you is, if you could change a rule, what would you change? And while you think on it, I'll tell you mine. So I have a
fix. Go ahead.
I have a fix to the offsides rule. And it's
you have a fantasy offsides rule? Like, you
have a fix to it. It's
I thought you said you fantasize about it. Like, you sit at home, like in your bed at night, and think about this offsides rule, and it gets you going.
It would just fix the world. It would make the world a better place. All the puck has to do for you to be on sides is touch the blue line. That's it. And all the puck has to do to be out of the zone is be out of the blue line. So that end of the blue line at the start of the neutral zone is all you have to look at, because the blue line right now is a gray area, mm-hmm. because the puck has to be all the way in the zone to be in and all the way out of the zone to be out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's already a mix in this. So there's my fix. You take that basically fixes the offsides challenge, because all you're doing is looking at one part of the ice and poof, we're done.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Problem is this. There's two problems. Okay.
No, there's no problems.
There's two problems.
No, there's none.
There's two, and here they are. The first problem is, now let me go back. Let me preface this by saying I agree. There's still two problems. First problem being it's too logical. Okay? That makes too much sense. So they're never going to do it. You are 100% correct. That would fix it. As soon as any part of the puck, going into the offensive zone, as soon as any part of the puck touches the blue line, any player can now enter the offensive zone and you are onsides. Now the puck has to be all the way past the blue line for it to be out. I get that. Makes total sense. It would fix the offsides. There would never be another offsides. First of all, we would hardly ever see offsides. The game would be faster. There would be less whistles. Here's the other problem. But the first problem is it's too logical. Here's the other problem. You're going to have idiots that argue you should now do that to the goal line for a puck and a goal. You're going to have people
should always have to be all the way in.
But you're going to have people arguing that that's now two separate. Let me hear me out.
Soccer, the ball's got to be all the way in. The puck's got to be all the way in. I win.
So is your analogy into soccer, and this I'll give you the win if this is, and be honest, is your analogy to the soccer offsides that the defender who is guarding the offensive player that the ball is technically going to, he's the blue line, which in soccer, if any part of said offensive player is behind that defender in any way, then that is now that's now onsides. So are you comparing the offensive guy in soccer to the puck, and are you comparing that defender to the blue line?
No, I'm just comparing the puck and the ball.
Okay, well then now, I'm just saying
the puck's got to be all the way in. I know, like with football, any part of the ball touches the plane, it's a touchdown. I think that's silly. I think the whole ball should have to be in the end zone. So we can talk about that. That's a whole different story. But I think the whole puck.
I also agree with that. I also agree with that.
But, you know, I think we're looking at offside.
But hold on.
Such a big issue right now.
Hold on. That
fixes it.
Hold on. You're kind of contradicting yourself in that you want the puck just to be able to touch the blue line for it to be onsides, but you want the football to be completely over the goal line for it to be a touchdown. Oh, but you're comparing
talk about first downs and goal line.
But you're comparing the touchdown to a goal in hockey where the puck has to be completely okay. All right, that makes sense. Okay, all right, that makes more sense. I thought
you
were comparing the two
on the board. That
got it.
Puck should be all the way.
Got it. No, I agree with you. Again, it's too logical. And B, you are going to have people that argue if you're going to change the blue line rule, you have to change the goal line rule because technically now they're one and the same, right? The puck has
no,
to completely.
Then I'm going
to
argue that half the puck's out of the net, so the puck's not in the net.
All right. Okay. All right. You win.
Done.
Okay. You win. Speaking
what's your
of,
rule?
My rule. It's to make overtime just more exciting and fun. So I think you get rid of the shootout. We've seen the shootout since we were kids. It's just not this. It doesn't have the same allure that it did that it once did. And to be honest with you, the allure of the shootout only lasted probably five seasons. And it was because nobody
the thing is, goalies are so good now.
And
like,
here
it's so hard.
So that's the thing. Goalies are so good now, right? That the only way to really beat it, this is true. The analytics will tell you the best way to beat a goalie in a shootout is to come in, pick your spot, and shoot the puck, right?
Yeah.
But that's not what people want to see, right? So, I do think that players sometimes, right, will take into account what people want to see and will this be cool, which is what we want them to do as fans. And if they miss that shootout shot and it's an important one, right, and they do some stupid deke or whatever, we wanted to see that deke, but we wanted to see it go in. Now when it doesn't go in, now we're pissed at that player and their team's pissed at that player because he fucked around in the shootout and he should have just went in and shot the puck. When really, why is the game coming down to that? A penalty shot is completely different, right? In the midst of a game, like that's completely different. But they need to do away with the shootouts. I would do a 10-minute overtime. And here's how I would do it. Okay. The first 10 minutes, okay, starts it's 4-on-4. Okay. You go to 4-on-4 at the start of the 10 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
Then at 7 minutes, you go to 3-on-3. Okay. So after 3 minutes on four on four, if no one scores, you can either do it on the fly or you can blow a quick whistle or the next whistle after 7 minutes, you go to 3-on-3. Okay. Then the next whistle after 4 minutes, you go to 2-on-2.
They'll never do that. They'll never go to 2-on-2.
How sick would that be though?
Oh, it'd be so exciting.
So you go three, or you could do a 9 minute. So you could do it.
Marner on McDavid, Dreisaitl.
So if you wanted the OCD mathematics of it, you could do a nine minute overtime, and every 3 minutes each team loses a player. So the minimum you could do is 2-on-2, but you start 4-on-4. You'd score goals. The games would. But how fun would that be?
It would be fun.
Because then the strategy becomes like, then the strategy, but then it forces more strategy, right? And the hockey nerds would love that. Then the strategy becomes like Minnesota pulling the goalie in overtime. Then the strategy becomes, do you do that on a 2-on-2, make it a 3-on-2? Do you do that on the 4-on-4, make it a 5-on-4 power play? That kind of shit comes into play. Then it adds in the effect of, if you get down to that 2-on-2, who do you put on the ice? Do you put your two best forwards, but who can't play defense, but are fast? Or do you put your best defenseman? Do you put like McKinnon and Makar? Imagine McKinnon and Makar on a 2-on-2.
Ugh, there's so much ice.
Let me just throw this at you. McKinnon and Makar on a 2-on-2 against JT Miller and Quinn Hughes.
I know. That's what I mean. Game, you get McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Matthews and Marner. Like, it's silly, but it's fun.
It's fun. But it won't happen because it's what?
It's not logical.
It's logical. It's logical. Well, that would be my fix. And for the simple fact of make it more fun. Now, if you want me to pick a fix that is strictly for game purposes, take out the offsides challenge. Just take it out.
Yeah.
You can leave offsides the way you have it. Take the challenges out. Because the problem with the way that you have it now, if you want to do offsides the way you want to do it, you could leave challenges in because it'd be very easy to solve just like that. The problem they have now is the offsides ruling is convoluted. Then you add in a video review of a bunch of monkeys in a boardroom with suits on in Toronto with microphones trying to bang in drums and bang in cymbals, trying to figure out if the full puck is over the blue line. You know what I mean? But if it just wasn't there, then it's done. You don't have to worry about it. So that's my game fix. My fun fix is the overtime. My game fix is the offsides. A little bit more simple than yours. I just take it out, but I like your fix. If they have to leave the challenge in, they need to do it the way you said to do it. I never want to be a reporter. I used to want to be a reporter in college. I used to do some sports writing. I would never want to do that, and I would never want to do that in Philly, and I would never want to do that for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Okay, but they're dumb.
Explain. Because
you've got to know exactly what response you're getting. So for the backstory, John Tortorella scratched his captain, Sean Couturier, for last night's game.
Yeah.
Didn't have him in the lineup. I don't know if it won the game or not. His captain. He scratched him. Nobody really knows why. So the game ends. He goes into the press conference. Clearly, everybody wants to know why they scratched him. Clearly, everybody also knows in the room Tortorella is not going to answer the question. So don't ask the question. Just don't do it.
How? I got to give credit. I don't want to give credit. I got to give credit to the reporter who made up the bullshit story about Kevin Hayes who torts pigeon toss in front of everybody. He keeps pigeon tossing him, and this guy keeps raising his hand. It's the funniest. Because you know who it is based on Torts' reaction, right? Who is your boy on the Sharks? Dan Boyle. And when Dan Boyle was in New York with Torts, there's famous videos of them getting into it with some reporter named Brooksy. I don't know who Brooksy is. But fuck,
they
man,
like
did Torts and Dan Boyle hate him or hated him? I mean, would tell him to his face, I hate you. Like, I don't like you. Like, get like you're like, I'm not. So when Torts doesn't like you, he doesn't even let you talk. And that is what he's done to this reporter who made up a bullshit story about one of Torts' ex-players, Kevin Hayes, all season long. And this guy just keeps coming and just keeps raising his hand. I guess he has to, like, if he wants to keep his job. Yeah, like, he can go back to his boss and say, I was there, I raised my hand, he shut me down again. You know what I mean? But this guy raises his hands, and Torts just immediately looks at him and goes, I'm not answering any of your questions. Like, doesn't even, it's just like, I'm not answering your question. And so the guy's just like, okay, like, whatever. But you... Then the first next question is, how do you think your team handled their captain not being in the lineup? And Torts kind of ripped the guy and was like, I'm not talking about Sean. That's between me and Sean. If you want to ask me a question about the team. Then the next reporter.
I think that's a fair answer. I think that's actually a fair answer to all the reporters in there. I'm not going to talk about this. Leave it alone.
Sure.
But then the moron.
Then the next moron goes, what effect do you think scratching him had on the team? And Torts is like, I'm not talking about Sean, but this is where I kind of
responded well.
But I kind of agree with the reporter though, because the way he phrased the question, he was asking a team question, but he was still asking it in a sense of, I almost agree with the second reporter. The first one was just a moron the way he asked it. Like, it was just like, he straight up asked, like, how did Sean feel or something? Like, it was like, shut up, dude. Like, he's not going to answer that. The second guy was asking, how did the team feel? And Torts is still like, but that guy is still kind of a moron, because how do you think the fucking team felt? Do you think they liked their captain being scratched?
Just name in the question. Just don't do it.
Like, do you think Morgan Frost woke up yesterday morning and looked at the lineup and went, Couturier, my captain, is scratched. This is going to be a fucking awesome game. No, it was, he's probably like, what the fuck is going on? Like, as was everybody. So unless they had a heads up, but even when they got the heads up, I'm sure they were all like, what the fuck? That's our captain. But Briere released a statement, and we all know this. If you know Torts, you know, it doesn't matter if he's the one who named Couturier the captain. The thing with Torts is he treats everybody the same. He doesn't care if you're a 105 goal scorer or if your only job is to fight like Delorier and kill penalties. If you don't do what he's asking you to do and buy in 150% into Torts, he's going to have his way with you. And apparently there was something that Torts didn't like with Couturier's game, and he thought the best way to handle it was to sit him. Now, it's a ballsy fucking move to sit your captain, which I think only a guy with Torts' tenure could do. What other coach in the league beside Torts and Rick Tocchet could sit their captain and not get fired?
It's a bold move. You're definitely sending a message. You're trying to get him going. I mean, I did see some quotes that, like, Trey said he doesn't like how he's being treated there. So I thought that was kind of interesting in his response of not, like, he didn't really keep it quiet. But who knows? We'll see. Maybe he's going to bounce back. Philly's just in a weird spot, in my opinion, because they're clearly overperforming. So, I don't know. They're kind of in the playoffs, but they don't want to be in the playoffs. They're trying to build their young guys, but they're also pissing off their old guys. So it's just, they're in a weird state in my mind.
It's Philly's weird because their ownership sucks. They got one of those like monopoly ownerships who don't give a fuck about actually producing a product. So it makes it very hard. Now I'm sure Jonesy and Briere are trying to change that. But they make it very hard they always have for a while now for them to bring in high profile players, for them to pay money. They kind of did with Kevin Hayes, but that didn't really work out. Could you imagine though? So it's a very convoluted organization in that like you're like, they don't have an identity. This is your identity. There's three identities in the NHL: guaranteed playoffs, bubble playoffs, meaning like you're not selling any pieces, but you're also not really going to make a big splash in free agency because you don't have the cap room, but you're right there. Or you're not making the playoffs at all. The Flyers go back and forth between bubble, not bubble, not bubble, not. And it's almost like management wants them to sort of tank, and Torts is not cool with that. But it's almost like management knows Torts isn't cool with that. And it's almost like the players are playing like every other game, do we tank or do we not tank? Do we tank or do we not tank? Do we tank? Do we not? Are we tanking now? Oh, we're not tanking now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so nobody in that organization has any clue of what is going on.
Weird identity of like they're being told they're rebuilding and now they're being told they want to make the playoffs. So they just have no identity in that organization.
I think they've
got the wrong ownership.
I think they've got the right people at the helm as far as GM and Briere and Jonesy as far as player development and things like that. But I think they're very hindered by their ownership. And it's sort of like the Sabres. The Sabres are super hindered by their ownership. Now that kind of changed recently as I think somebody else took over that, like the Sabres and the Bills as far as COO. I don't know all the details on that, but that's a problem. Most owners or most ownership groups, unless you're a high profile guy or you're a new owner like Michael Endlauer in Ottawa, you don't hear about them because most owners hire guys. They back the fuck up. They go, just let us know what you need in order to make this team successful financially. I want to be in the know. Like you're not just going to go make any move. You're not just going to go sign. Like if we're going to make us whatever it is. Right. Yeah. But you don't really. Like, I don't ever hear about the Stars owner unless he's in a suite at a game randomly. You know what I mean? And he's not at every game because he's from Vancouver. So he's all over whatever.
You need an active owner. You don't want a big corporate owner in your team. Like, invested in the team.
Exactly.
In the future of the team. Who actually
thank
likes
you.
The team.
Question. Hypothetical. If Patrick Waugh sat Anders Lee, do you think Lou Lamoriello would kill him? Like, would physically, like, would actually have him killed?
He would just walk down and be like, no, we're not doing that. And then walk out.
With a shotgun, though. Like, he'd walk in the office with a shotgun, like roped around his arm. And he'd sit down with a cup of coffee and he'd like lift his leg. He'd cross his leg and he'd look at Waugh and he'd go, so you're sitting Anders, huh? And then Waugh would either go yes or no. And he'd either go, no, we're not doing that. Or he'd go, good answer. And he'd just get up and walk out.
Yeah, no, he's cleaning his revolver. So I heard you're sitting him, huh?
Oh, you're sitting Lee, huh? You're sitting Anders, huh? I don't think we're doing that.
Tonight.
Yeah, ballsy move. All right, well, that's the Flowscape podcast. Go Colorado State Rams, and we'll see you next episode.
All right, peace.